We're speaking right now. Joining me on the phone is Sue Resin. She's a state senator, Republican from Morris. She's an assistant Republican leader of the chamber. Senator, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
I wanted to get your take, first of all, in light of the tragic shooting in Santa Fe, Texas. We have this legislation now, the governor's rewrite of some gun control legislation. Now we have the governor's kind of more comprehensive rewrite of reinstating the death penalty for murder of law enforcement or in cases of multiple deaths. We've got a 72-hour waiting period being expanded for all firearms, not just military-style firearms that was contained in the original bill. Various changes involving taxation, if counties want to, schools and counties want to impose a sales tax to provide for police officers in schools. It's a lot in one package. I was wondering, what are your thoughts on that legislation?
Well, you know, first of all, we're here because the increase in violence in our society, and this raises difficult and divisive issues. And as a result, the governor has taken this bill and he's proposed a comprehensive public safety bill to deal with in his opinion, situations that are arising. It seems like it's almost every day. But yes, his public safety bill includes a proposed death penalty for those who murder police officers or those who commit mass murders. He also proposes in this bill a ban for bump stocks. That was what was used in the Las Vegas mass shooting. And also there's a 72-hour cooling off period, not just for semi-automatic rifles when you go to purchase them, but also handguns. So this is a comprehensive bill. The governor has taken the lead on it. These are controversial topics, I understand that. But at the end of the day, we have the governor who's going to lead on this issue. And by proposing this piece of legislation that deals with public safety, it's at the very least, it starts a discussion in Springfield that we need to have.
Is it too comprehensive? I mean, there's various elements that, if they were separated out, might be voted on differently rather than putting it all together in one package. For example, the 72-hour cooling off period for all firearms might not be acceptable to some lawmakers. It's opposed by the National Rifle Association. It might be opposed by some downstate lawmakers. Obviously we have our, regional diversity when it comes to guns. Issues like the death penalty, which since it was abolished 7 years ago, kind of a belief that that issue's already been decided and put away. I just wonder in its scope if it's just too much in one package and that maybe it ought to be dissected.
Well, we often have large pieces of policy that have many different elements in it, some that we agree with and some areas that we disagree with, but again, this is a comprehensive public safety plan that's come from the governor. There are many elements in it that I agree with, but some that will not, be liked in my district as well. But the governor did propose bringing back the death penalty, but again, it's very specific for people who murder police officers or commit mass suicide. And mass murders, correct. But he also increased the standards for establishing guilt. Under this legislation, guilt must be determined beyond all doubt rather than a standard reasonable of doubt. Other issues, as you say, the 72-hour waiting period. I represent a pro-Second Amendment district. This is a challenge for members and constituents in my district, and so we certainly hear from them. But we look at the overall piece of legislation that's being voted on and see if it brings us in the right direction, the direction where we need to have this difficult discussion about public safety, safety in our schools, safety just, in many of the soft targets that we've never had to think about before.
So in its totality, then, you support it?
Well, this bill will go to the
right. I know it's going to, it goes to a House hearing tomorrow. That the Speaker is allowing it to proceed on a separate bill. But if it comes to the Senate in its totality, is that something you would support?
Certainly, this bill, if it did come back to the Senate, which it won't, it will either be overridden. The AV will be overridden in the House, or the bill will not be voted on and be left to die. But, you know, there are aspects of this bill that I agree with, and I think in totality, I'll look at this bill, and there are more good pieces of information in the bill than not. Something that I probably would look at supporting. But again, in Springfield, especially at the end of session, when we're dealing with issues, if we get about 60% of what we want in a particular bill, you know, it's a good bill. And more importantly, though, it starts a discussion between both parties. This is a very serious topic. We've had numerous pieces of separate legislation trying to deal with, for instance, school violence that, in our opinion, you know, just run into roadblocks. So, again, by comprehensively taking a look at public safety and instituting certain things in public safety that we feel would be able to help not only the soft targets such as schools, but help with the other issues that we're dealing with, we feel that it would be a good bill and start a good conversation.
We're speaking with Republican State Senator Sue Resen from Morris. She's an assistant Republican leader in the chamber. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune here in the Allstate Showcase Studio in historic Tribune Tower on North Michigan Avenue. And joining me on the phone is Assistant State Senate Republican Leader Sue Resen, Republican from Morris. Senator, we're 11 days away from the end of session. You kind of alluded to how things happen at end of session. But I think the pressing thing on a lot of people's minds is the state budget. And I know that budgeteers have been meeting, but are they moving fast enough?
Well, 11 days till the end of our session is a long time in Springfield years. So, yes, to answer your question, the budgeteers continue to meet from both the House and the Senate. We also have the four leaders and the governor who continue to meet to move this process forward. The hope is to have a 12-month balanced budget by the end of May. And again, like you said, we have 11 days left. I'm always hopeful that we'll have an agreement before we adjourn at the end of May.
I mean, I do get a sense, push aside the rhetoric, I do get a sense that everybody really this time wants to have a budget.
Well, certainly the feeling, the sentiment in Springfield is different this year. Everybody does. Everyone wants to have a budget. We all want to have a balanced budget. However, you have two different philosophies how to get to that balanced budget. We've always said to cut and make government more efficient where you can, reform some areas so we can become more business friendly and keep taxes low. Because we recognize that the private sector needs to be a willing partner in Springfield dealing with the budget. So they see us as a business-friendly state. Businesses then will invest, they'll create jobs, and they will bring new revenue into the capital. Our friends across the aisle tend to, talk about another income tax increase, a progressive tax, as a way to balance the budget.
Not for this session, though.
Not for this session, but there's always talk about new revenue. How do we balance the budget? And, you know, we have a conversation about we need more revenue as opposed to we've always said we need to keep state taxes low. The way we get more new revenue is by encouraging businesses to be here. So that's the challenge when we're sitting at the table. But, yes, I do feel that this year there is a willingness by both sides to continue to meet, have the discussions to close that. We're about a billion dollars apart. in terms of balancing the budget. At the end of the day, however we get there, the governor has made it very clear, and we support, that we need a balanced budget to vote on. And that's what we're hopeful that we will see at the end of May.
I know that you've expressed concerns about a bill that would deal with municipal water systems and potential privatization that would lead to massive rate increases. Can you tell me what's going on with that?
Well, we had a bill go through session, and I've been the minority spokesman for energy for quite a while here. So in energy, we've seen many bills dealing with infrastructure updates for the energy corridor, for, you know, ComEd, for Exelon, for the natural gas companies. We had this bill go through this past week that would allow private water companies to purchase municipals' water systems. The problem with the bill that passed is there were no caps that were included in this particular bill. In previous utility bills, we always have very hard caps to protect the consumers. In this bill, there are not hard caps. There were not hard caps included to protect new customers. Also, there was a the way it was written is essentially the ICC would have to approve everything that was presented to them by the private companies when they purchase these water systems at an overinflated price, and then the cost would simply be passed through to new customers and existing customers in that region. I felt that the bill did not protect consumers and the ratepayers who received that bill. As a result, many people that already have the two companies who the legislation was written for, when they receive their bill and they open them up, they, you know, they have sticker shock because their bills have been going up 20% to 30% over the course of the years. So I think there could have been more protections in there for the consumers.
Something that, as you say, the ICC would have no choice but to approve. But is there any kind of backup for, you know, as in other cases involving energy, about backup for the ICC to approve rate increases?
Well, in the past, these mergers could have happened without this piece of legislation passing, and then the bill would go before a hearing, before the ICC, and the ICC would have discretion. What expenses do we pass on to ratepayers at, you know, at a rate that they can pay for, so they don't have sticker shock when they open up their bills? This piece of legislation was written for and by two companies, Illinois American Water and Aqua Water, those two companies only. So even if you're a private, smaller water company, this bill was not written for you. In the bill, it basically stated, and the bill was written by the companies, that the ICC would have to pass through the expenses to the ratepayers, which takes a lot of their power away from really, you know, being able to protect the consumers.
Right. The Commerce Commission is the kind of the rate-making authority in the state for utilities. And as you say, this legislation requires the ICC, it takes away that discretion of rate-making ability in this kind of a transfer.
Unfortunately, it does. And again, we will hear once the companies start purchasing the water systems at municipalities, within a year or so you will start hearing. We hear from constituents that have water from these two companies, and I hear constantly we have local meetings dealing with why is our water bill so high. So this will be a problem in the future. I think that there could have been better protections in there for the consumers.
So now, is this bill over in the House, or what's its status?
Well, the bill is the bill passed the House and the Senate and is waiting for the governor's.
So it's on the governor's desk. So
I'm asking the governor to veto the bill and start over. We've shown in the past that we can pass these type of legislations while protecting the consumers, and I think that's why we need to start over with this bill.
That's State Senator Sue Resin. She's Assistant Republican Leader from Morris, Illinois. Thank you so much for joining me, Senator.
Thanks for having me.